Francis is the first Jesuit pope in history. But how do other Jesuits feel about having one of their brothers as head of the Catholic Church? Father James Martin is a US Jesuit priest and author of the book The Jesuit Guide to Almost Everything. He talked to Vatican Radio's Susie Hodges about Pope Francis's pontificate so far.
Well, I'm absolutely delighted. I don't think I could be any happier. I'm very proud, or at least as proud as a Jesuit who's supposed to avoid pride can be, about the first Jesuit pope. I think he's been teaching us in both words and in deeds, the way that Jesus did, talking about tenderness in his first homily and also showing a lot of tenderness in his actions with people.
What, for you, are some of your favorite gestures that this pope has made so far?
Well, I was very moved by his spending time with parishioners on the steps of the Church of Santa Anna in Vatican City after Mass, greeting them one by one, every single parishioner, as they came out as a regular parish priest would do. And people felt comfortable enough to hug him and even kiss him, which I just thought was a real sign of his approachability. I also liked the way that he went back to his hotel room after he was elected pope to pay his hotel bill. But for me, the most moving moment was the Popemobile coming into his inaugural Mass. He stopped to greet a very seriously disabled man in the crowd. And I thought, here he is on one of the most important days of his life, taking time out to help the poor and the sick. So all of these things have really spoken to me as loudly as his words have.
Yes, in fact, that gesture of stopping the Popemobile to go and greet and bless the disabled man certainly struck a chord with many people. I should think, though, it's giving his security staff kittens.
Well, you could also see that after the Mass at Santa Anna, that his security people were actually pulling the parishioners away after they were hugging and shaking his hands. But once again, you know, Jesus taught in words and in deeds. His miracles informed his words, and his words explained, in a sense, his miracles. So I think it's important for us to not only talk the talk, but also walk the walk, as we say here.
Right. Now, as a fellow brother Jesuit, what do you feel are the greatest gifts that a Jesuit pope, the first, of course, ever, can bring to the papacy?
Well, that's a great question. The Jesuit spiritual tradition is very rich, but I would say at the heart of the Jesuit spiritual sort of patrimony is St. Ignatius's spiritual exercises. And it's a four-week program for prayer, which a Jesuit does twice in his life, and we know that Pope Francis has done twice in his life, where you spend a month in silent contemplation about the life of Christ. And so what he brings, I think, most of all, even beyond his commitment to the poor, is a deep personal relationship with Jesus. And I think that is the most important thing that any pope can bring to the office.
Now, amongst his other qualities, Pope Francis has already shown his very keen sense of humor right from his very first words after his election. And you yourself are renowned for your sense of humor, and you've written a number of books that, amongst other things, stress the importance of humor and joy in being a Christian. So do you very much resonate with that, and what have been some of your favorite remarks of his?
Well, I think from the very first moment of his papacy, as you said, he showed his sense of humor. I think coming out on the balcony and saying, Buonasera, good evening, was pretty amusing. And also his quip that the cardinals had to go to the ends of the earth to find a pope are a sign of his sense of humor. But I also think just his demeanor and his laughter is a sign of his joyfulness, and joy just radiates from him. When he was greeting the parishioners after that Mass I mentioned, he was smiling. And when he was greeting that man, the disabled man, he was smiling. And I know that he visited with the Jesuit Superior General recently. They sent out an official communique, and they said it was very warm and cordial. And he said, you know, treat me just the way you would treat any other Jesuit to our Superior General. So this is a man who is very joyful and lighthearted, and I think also doesn't take himself too seriously, which is very important for anyone in a position of authority like that.
Yeah, there was another quip he made, in fact, in the dinner they had together right after his election, and he was dining with the cardinals, and he said, may God forgive you for what you have done to me.
I think that part of, you know, having a good sense of humor, as I said, is being self-deprecating, and I also think even his physical style, eschewing the red shoes, dressing very simply, even at that Mass and his inaugural Mass, you know, dressing in fairly simple vestments for a pope, I think shows that, you know, he understands his place in the world. It's not all about him, and I think that's very, very refreshing for people, and I think that's one reason why people feel so drawn to him.
Talking of simplicity, his choice of Francis as his name, of course, the first pope ever to give himself that name in honour of St. Francis of Assisi, has made that clear. Do you see that as a very inspired choice, given that this saint, who of course came from an aristocratic background and gave it all up to live amongst the poor and for the poor, is probably the best-loved saint of all Christians?
Well, I think that's true. I think it's also, as a Jesuit, to take St. Francis as a reminder that Francis of Assisi was an important part of St. Ignatius's life, one of the inspirations for his conversion. Also, we have to remember that one of the famous experiences of Francis's life, which changed him and changed the course of the church, was his dream where he imagined Christ saying to him, "Rebuild my church." And so, in addition to his emphasis on poverty by choosing that name, there may also be an emphasis of reform, but time will tell with that.
That brings me on to my final question. What do you think Americans, be they Catholics or not, are hoping for from this papacy of Pope Francis?
Well, frankly, every American I've spoken with is delighted. I think they're happy to have someone from the Americas, first of all. Remember, many American Catholics are Spanish-speaking, and so the idea that a pope who speaks fluent Spanish is at St. Peter's now, I think, is very inspiring. But, you know, Americans really respond to authentic, down-to-earth, real people. And I think one of the reasons that Americans have been so excited is because they see an authentic person who loves being a priest and actually seems to enjoy being pope. So I think his authenticity appeals to us. What will they hope for? I think that depends on the Catholic you speak to. I think in the United States, certainly, the sex abuse crisis needs to be addressed. But really, the most important thing is we hope for someone who can clearly and boldly preach the gospel, which he has shown that he already can do.
And what about St. Ignatius, the Jesuit founder? Because, of course, all Jesuits pledge not to strive for high office, and yet here is a pope who's a Jesuit.
Well, it is an irony, isn't it? We, during our final vows, as you say, make a promise not to strive or ambition for high office, and we really have shunned those offices. St. Ignatius put that promise in our constitutions because he didn't like the sort of careerism that he saw among the clergy in the Renaissance, during his time. But we're also free. We're free enough to take these offices when the Vatican asks us to, and obviously Pope Francis was free enough to say yes. So it's really everything at the service of the church, all, as St. Ignatius would say, for the greater glory of God. And this surely is something for God's greater glory.